and good afternoon. You're listening to WFPL's Here and Now. I'm Jonathan Bastian. Good to be with you. Nathan Salzberg is curator of the Alan Lomax Archive, which contains many vital recordings of early American music and world music. Recently, Nathan Salzberg has been digitizing and archiving a handful of Lomax's recordings from Eastern Kentucky, which he plans to repatriate across the Commonwealth. We spoke about this project earlier today. Nathan, you've been working on a series of recordings that Alan Lomax made in Kentucky a number of years ago. So what's the update on those, and what's the future of those recordings?
Basically, Jonathan, there were 32 hours of recordings made in 9 East Kentucky counties by Lomax in 1937 when he was recording under the auspices of the Library of Congress. And these have been sitting on very fragile glass-based discs for years, since 1937, at the Library of Congress. A few years ago, the library undertook the digitization of them. So they all were transferred to digital formats, but they weren't cataloged digitally. And they were the speed and the pitch were all over the place because he was using a battery-powered disc recorder that recorded anywhere from 10% too fast or 10% too slow. So I've been going through them, cataloging them, parsing them out into discrete files with the ultimate intention of making an online database devoted to these recordings so folks all over the world can have access to them. At the same time, we're working, and I should say that our partners in this, and when I refer to our, I'm talking about the Alan Lomax Archive, our partners are the Library of Congress's American Folklife Center, but also special collections at the University of Kentucky, which has supported this work, the digital cataloging work. And they'll be hosting sort of the big database specifically of the 1937 recordings that Lomax made. These recordings will also be available, though, site-specifically around the state, places like the Apple Shop in Letcher County, Berea College, Morehead State. So they'll be both available in regional archives and repositories as well as online. And a third part of the initiative is to actually, and the hope is that we'll find support for this time next year, with the Apple Shop and the Folklife Center, do a tour basically retracing Lomax's steps between August and October of 1937, visiting the counties and the places where he recorded and sort of reintroducing the music from those communities to the contemporary communities, and with the hope, families of the artists, the heirs of the artists, you know, friends and cousins, neighbors, etc.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, people can learn much more about this in the coming week. I believe next weekend, if I'm right, there's going to be an event focused pretty specifically on this work.
Right. So next weekend, which would be the 19th and 20th of September at the Clifton Center here in town, there is a Pay What You Will event we're calling I've Rambled This Country Both Early and Late, and it's a celebration of Kentucky mountain music and also a chance for us to sort of call attention to these recordings being made available. It's sort of a kickoff event for us for initiatives throughout the state over the next year, you know, surrounding Lomax's East Kentucky recordings. So I'll be doing a talk next Friday night about specifically the 1937 trip that he made and his wife made to the Library of Congress, showing a bit of beautiful newly transferred footage that he shot, color footage in 1937, gorgeous scenes from East Kentucky, from Harlan County and I believe Perry or Leslie County. And then there'll be music all weekend long. There's a concert Friday night, there's a shape note singing in the morning on Saturday, instrument workshops, some films from the Apple Shop, including some profiles of East Kentucky musicians like Nimrod Workman and Sarah Gunning. And then there's a square dance on Saturday evening. So it should be a pretty packed and pretty fun weekend. We're really looking forward to it.
That's coming up next weekend, as you said. But thinking specifically about the work you have been doing, how do these recordings that you have been working on, how do they change our understanding of early Kentucky music?
The interesting thing about these recordings is that they were made in 1937, pretty solid 12 to 13 years after the first old-time Kentucky musicians made commercial records. So the idea is that it's not as though these were the first documents of East Kentucky music, but they're certainly the most diverse. The commercial recording companies were mostly interested in things like fiddle tunes, love songs, But they didn't go so much after the old-time ballads. Certainly, there were almost no unaccompanied ballads recorded commercially of East Kentucky singers. The Lomaxes were really interested in tracking that stuff down. There are plenty examples of old-world ballads. One singer in particular named Eliza Pace, who was in her very late 80s, if not early 90s, when they recorded her. She had been recorded in the late 19th century by Francis, not recorded, but documented by Francis James Child, who was the progenitor of the Child Ballad. The big books that basically cataloged the old world ballads that still survived in the central and southern Appalachian mountains. Some of these songs are much, much older than what was recorded commercially in the 1920s. Also, though, there's an interesting corollary in that a number of traditional singers by this time, in 1937, were also singing songs for Lomax's microphone that they had learned off records. So it's not as though these were isolated communities, repertoire-wise or performative-wise. I mean, these were people who were listening to the radio, listening to records, as well as playing songs that they had gotten in their communities, again, from neighbors or aunts and uncles or parents. So it's a really interesting diversity of East Kentucky music.
I was speaking with Nathan Salzberg, curator at the Alan Lomax Archive. You can learn more about that event next weekend at thecliftoncenter.org.